Amen. You know, there's been many times that this road's gotten real rocky, and it didn't feel like there was any reason to go on. But every time, somewhere, somehow, He has showed up and give us another reason. Amen. So if there is no other reason, you've still got the best reason ever. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you would, turn with us tonight. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 46. Jeremiah 46. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. Amen. Verse number 3. It says, "Order ye the buckler and shield, and draw near to battle." Order ye the buckler and shield, and draw near to battle. Amen. We do desire the Lord's anointing tonight. We thank You for praying, putting into the service. If the Holy Ghost will help us for just a little while, we want to try to preach to you. Stay in the fight. Amen. This is a crazy time of year. This is a time of year where normally throughout the country we have the most suicides. We have the most burglaries. We have the most murders. We have the most thefts. That's not breaking and entering. You have all different kinds of crimes and passions and feelings and different things that go on in a person's mind and in their soul because of their desire to be with people and their desire to please people and please self. This time of year was not meant to be that route. It was not meant for that purpose, but because of the merchandising of the gospel and the merchandising of the birth of Christ, oh, you can pick any day of the year to set aside to worship His coming. Oh, but it has become a fight in this life to do things the right way. It has become a fight in this life. You can forget the Christmas holiday, go to Thanksgiving. It's a fight to continue being thankful on Thanksgiving. The way the culture is turning and all the shopping that's going on, people try to spend. It used to be we'd spend 24 hours being thankful and 24 hours fighting tooth and nail to get new presents and new toys. But now we barely spend 12 hours being thankful and 36 hours fighting tooth and nail to get new presents and new toys. It's hard and it's a fight to keep the reasons and the meanings in the place that they are in. But here Jeremiah, the Lord tells Jeremiah in this message here, He says to order the shield and the buckler. Pick up the shield and the buckler and draw near to battle. There, if there is one message our church world needs to hear, they need to hear that it is time to buckle down and stay in the fight. It's not time to get lax. It's not time to kick up our feet. It's not time to forget where we've come from or where we're going, because we know the end of this book. We've heard enough preaching throughout our lives that we could save the entire world probably 7 times over. Oh, but we forget how this thing ends. If we hold on to the end, those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, the enemy knows how the book ends too, and he's going to fight tooth and nail to do exactly what he's doing, and that is to get our minds off the issues, to get our minds off the prize, and to get our vision just as cloudy as possible, and get us wrapped up in just as much as possible, to get us out of the fight, whether we're hurt or not, whether we're busy or not, whether we're going to church or not. He's going to do everything he can to keep our minds and eyes off of the situation and what's in front of us. A couple of years ago, me and Sister Beth went to the air show at the local Air Force base there at home. And as we were walking across the flight line, planes going overhead, And I'm looking at the old World War II planes and the models and the old planes of America and the manufacturing that they did. You look and you feel prideful, especially me as an ex-Army soldier. I'm walking that flat line, getting right prideful at the past of America. Not prideful in anything I've done, but prideful that I am American and I know the history of our great country. I know how it was built. I know what we went through. I know, I got to thinking that day, how we've been involved in many wars, how we've won most of them. We had that one conflict we didn't win, but we sure did fight hard. You know, we're a great country. We grow up to sing praises and pledges to our country. Our people have blood, sweat, and tears that's put into our country. We, from a small age, were taught how to put our hand over our heart and pledge allegiance. From a small age, we're taught how to sing and be proud to be an American citizen, an American, and live in this great nation. Oh, but as we were walking that flat line that day and my mind was reminiscing of all of this, God of heaven spoke down into my soul and said, "They did it. You can too." You know, I kind of looked up at heaven for a minute, and if she'd have seen me, she'd have thought I was crazy. But I said, "Lord, what do you mean? I've already served my country. I've already been medically discharged. I've already done my duty, what I can do." Oh, but he didn't take me back to my time in the Army. He took me to a scripture where Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 about the history of the Bible and the history of the saints. But then he said in 12 and 1, "Wherefore we being compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience that is set before us." How are we going to do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand side of God. Oh, as we were walking that flight line, as I was thinking about the battles we've won, he took my mind to the battles he's won. He took my mind to where he's brought us from. Not just me, not just my home church, but the Christian, those that believe that he is the God Jehovah and his son is the only way to heaven. He reminded me of where we've come from. All work is a fight. We have a fight against the sense of monotony. I've already talked about that this morning. We have a fight against the feeling of weariness. We have a fight because we long for ease. When we're sick, we're feeble, we're depressed, it's often hard to hold to the straight path of duty. It's often hard to do that hard work, but that's why they call it that. You know, many times it'd be much easier to go with the allurements of pleasure, but it's called work when you decide to stay away from the pleasure and put your hands to the plow. That's why Moses in Hebrews 11, I believe it was verse 25, he said, "Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." As a result of this feeling, as a result of this allurement of pleasure, we find it hard to get through the life of the merry-go-round. Oh, many times we're excited when we get a new job, but after a while of hearing the same hammer smash, the same bell ring, the same phone tone, the same clock-in and clock-out procedures, we get tired and weary of the monotony, and we're ready to just throw up our hands. Oh, my brother and I, we have this character trait, I guess you would call it. Neither one of us likes to keep a real job for more than 6 months to a year. We just get bored. I don't know if it's ADD or what. Oh, he started the problem with pizza delivery, and I saw it in right behind him. But somewhere during the time I was in the Army, I learned what it meant to buckle down and work. Oh, here lately, he's had the same job now, I think, 4 years, and he told Dad a year and a half or so ago, he said, I've gotten past that point. Oh, I'm at the point now where I can leave and not feel bad about it. We get in that mode, but even in the spiritual life, that's exactly how we are. We're humans, and after we get so used to something, it just don't keep our attention as much anymore. It just don't keep our interest as much anymore. Once we're past the seal of salvation, it just doesn't have the allurement and the shiny, wonderful new feeling that it used to have. Once that new car ain't so new, we'd rather go trade it in and get something more flashy. Once that new salvation, once that shininess is worn off, once that armor has become dull, oh, and that brass has become smeared with the sweat and the stains of war, it'd be a whole lot easier just to trade that thing in and go get something else. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God of heaven wants some people that are willing to buckle down, that are willing to hunker down and stay with this thing and say, I'm going to fight. I'm going to put some sweat in. I'm going to put some tears in. I'm going to push that plate away. I'm going to do what it takes to win this battle because I know how this thing ends. Why do we think Jesus said, if we're going to get through this fight, if any man is going to come after me, he's going to have to first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He didn't say take up the cross first. Why? Because he knows after a little while, if you don't deny yourself first, you're going to get bored carrying that cross. He didn't say follow me first. Why? Because he knows that if you embark on the journey first and then you decide to pick up the cross, you ain't going to want to carry it too long. But if you do it in order, see, that's the problem with the church world. We don't like to be in order. The order of the spiritual realm goes salvation, cleaned up with some sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, and walking only in God. But now the church world, they want to put the Holy Ghost before salvation, or the Holy Ghost before getting cleaned up. They want to get the Holy Ghost and not have the gifts. They want to get the Holy Ghost and not have the fruits. There is an order to this thing, and we must put it in order. We need to kneel ourselves down at the cross and deny this flesh and say, God of heaven, put me where you want me. Use me how you want me. Lord, do with me what you will, because it's not about me. I'm ready to order myself with the shield and the buckler and do your will. Hallelujah. As we were walking that day, my mind went to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to read it to you, but this is what the Lord started talking to me. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He didn't say, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you will stand. He didn't say that you shall stand. We have faults. We have failures. This ain't a once saved, always saved, or once saved, always saved. He said that you may be able to stand. Some's going to take hits and they're going to stay down. Some's going to trip up and they're going to stay on the ground. But we have a promise that we may be able to stand. And that means when you get hit, get back up. Oh, you have the ability and the strength with your armor that if you get back up, you can take another one. If you say, I'm going to stand back up, I'm going to take another hit, I'm going to hold this shield, I'm going to swing this sword, I'm going to do what's right in God's eyes, because He said that I will be able to, and with His help, I'm going to make it through. And having done all, many times we want to just throw up our hands and quit after 5 minutes of fighting. We get down and we play 5 minutes Oh, it feels like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back down. Let me go ahead and stop for the day. You haven't done all. He said, God of heaven, He said, having done all. Oh, when you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, you may want to pray a little harder. When you feel like your reading is getting boring, and one chapter is going to do it, or a half a chapter, because it's just not keeping your attention. You might want to push a little through and go 3, 4, 5, 6 chapters today. Oh, you might want to finish off that book you're in just to renew that desire to get into the Word. He said, having done all. Oh, I can't make it through this one meal fasting. Oh, but it's the first time you fasted in 3 or 4 weeks. Oh, it's going to be hard. But you got to say, having done all. When you embark on it, keep it through. And when you get to the point that you need help, then He'll give you the strength to stand. Oh, when you say, Lord, I've been praying half hour and I still ain't made it through. Try 5 more minutes. Oh, Lord, I fasted 2 meals, and I don't seem like I'm getting the victory. Let's try one more, but let's get it in our minds that we're going to do all that we can do. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not going to do anything less than everything I've got. But if you don't mind, I need a little bit right here on this one. Hallelujah. Having done all. Yes. God has been in many battles. He's been in many conflicts. But He's never lost one. He's never lost one. He's never hurt for strength. He's never hurt for peace. And He's never hurt for joy. So when you have ran out of everything inside of you, you just remember that He's got it right there. Oh, this morning, I believe it was, or recently maybe at the last revival I was in, they sang the old hymn song, I have somebody with me, oh, to carry my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. Though others overtake me along life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Oh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all I can do. And knowing that He's never failed me, He's never left me, He's never turned His back on me. Once He sees that I'm going to do what I can, He's going to reach down and do what He can. He said, they did it. You can too. I got to thinking about who they were. By faith, we know Abraham did. By faith, we know Isaac did. We know Jacob did. But who was somebody that had to do something by faith? I'm just telling you what my mind process was, my thinking process. I said, okay, what are some things we fight for, Lord? What are some things we struggle with a lot? First thing I came up with was fighting for our faith. Because it was by faith that all these were able to do it. That's how I'm going to do it. So I've got to fight for my faith. The definition of faith, Hebrews 11:1 tells us, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if you look it up in a dictionary, you might find something that says confidence or trust in a person or thing. Just putting everything you've got that it's going to happen. So who is somebody that put everything they got into it? My mind goes to a young man somewhere under the age of 20 that walked up to an approximate 8-foot giant. And he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword. The entire army of Israel is cowering down behind the hillside over there. The king has already given me his armor to wear. But there's a problem with that armor. It hasn't been proven. Well, the world's going to tell you it's all right to do this. It's all right to do that. But it's time God wants some people that's going to say that way has not been proven. That thing has not been proven. I'm going to stick with what's been proven. The 1611. King James, it's still the only living translation. Oh, that's the word I'm going to live by because it has been proven. What else has been proven? Oh, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Oh, my feet shod
with the gospel of peace because it has been proven. He bends over, picks up five smooth stones, and I see him saying, oh, you come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you by the word of the God Jehovah. And I just picture him quoting scripture, and he said, it's not by might, it's not by power, he could have a shot of a hole, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to stay in this fight when nobody else will. I'll pick up a stone when nobody else will. I'll sling that sling when nobody else will, because the God of heaven has never failed me yet. He took out the lion, he took out the bear, and he's setting up Goliath for failure, because he will not fail me. How many times has the God of heaven come through for you, and then not too long thereafter, you're in another fight? How many times have you been able to grab the lion by his beard and you smote him, and you've gone back to the camp, to the pasture with your lamb, but it won't much longer, here comes the bear? And many times we forget. On Friday, we took out the lion. It was just 2 days ago. It wasn't long ago. It was fresh on his memory when he stood before Saul. He said, the lion came in, and I grabbed his beard, and the Lord delivered him to me. Had you ever said, the enemy came against me, and I called out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him unto me? He comes against our help, what are we going to do? We're going to stand with faith in God, and the Lord is going to deliver him unto me. When that bear comes in against my home, against my finances, against my family, I'm going to stand on the rock of God, and God will deliver him unto me. Oh, but when that bad news comes my way, and it feels like the giant Goliath has just reared his head in my life, what will I do? I'm going to remember the lion. I'm going to remember the bear. Friday I got the lion. Saturday I got the bear. Well, it's Sunday. You can take down Goliath. Whatever your problem is, whatever your fear is, whatever your situation is, you can take him down if you stay in the fight. Hallelujah. Goliath does not have to win. It does not matter how big he seems, or how strong, or how hard. He does not have to win. You know, the Bible tells us that in the last days there shall be a great falling away. And when our churches start getting thinner and thinner, our people sit back with arms folded, nodding their heads and say, yep, the Lord said this would happen. Well, I'm here to claim something a tad bit different. And that is, it's going to happen, but it don't have to happen right here. Somebody can say, I'm going to fight with everything I've got for what we've got, and I'm going to go into the enemy's camp, and I'm going to take back what he stole, and then I'm going to fight for the rest, and he's not stealing it no more. We don't have to fall away here. They may fall out over yonder. They may lose their faith over there, but I'm holding on to everything I know and what I believe, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I committed to him, and I'm going to move on in God. Hallelujah. My mind went to another man. Preached on so much in holiness churches, he'd become cliche. But old Job was a righteous man. Most righteous man in the East. So what kind of wife do you think he had? I'd say a righteous wife. Job, God tells Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan says, you have a hedge right about him. Do you realize tonight, as bad as it may be in your life, ain't you glad the hedge is still there? How much worse could it be without the hedge? Hallelujah. But he got a hedge in the bottom. God said, all right, you can come against him. All the way down. So he uses his health. He uses his wealth. He uses his family. Now, a lot of preachers preach that his wife was completely against him and she backslid. I don't see that. I see a mother that has just lost 10 kids. I see a mother that is just like, oh, hallelujah, God. That is just that lost everything that she stood behind for all these years. We preach about the pain that the man went through. What about what that mom went through? When she said, why don't you just curse God and die? I don't think she was saying God has done this to you or you've sinned or we've done wrong. I think she's saying, I'm hurting and I don't know how to fix it. Sometimes our pain is something greater than what we know how to do. Our pain is greater than what we can fix on our own. That distress that we're in, that downtrodden feeling where our spouse can't even lift us up and we don't think anybody else can help us. But in all this, Job sinned not with his lips. If my wife hurts so bad that she didn't even know what to say to me, and we just lost 10 kids, and all of our finances, and all of our food, and everything we'd ever owned, and she looks at me and that distressed feeling, I don't know what I would say or do, but I believe and I hope that I would turn to God, and that somebody could say in all this, Caleb didn't sin, Caleb didn't backslide, Caleb didn't give up. So what can we say about Job and his wife that holds on to God in the most dire situation, that says, I will stand upon a rock. Oh, that old song, set my foot on a rock, and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what the enemy brings my way, I'm willing to stand and not falter, because I know that God is able. How many times we give up well before anything that these two men faced. We give up well before the battle was even at the hottest point. But Jeremiah said, order ye the buckler and the shield and draw near to battle. I don't really know much about anybody in here. But I will tell you, in my own life, I'll find that when I was a new Christian, the thing I had to fight for the most was my faith. You'll find that greener soldiers have a hard time believing in what they're fighting for. And we're weaker too. The buckler was a shield that fast-moving infantry held. It was probably about the size of the offering plate, maybe a tad bit bigger. But they would hold it in their hand. And it was only made really for hand-to-hand combat. It wasn't made for the big swords. It was made for a couple of arrows, maybe. But they would run headstrong in the battle, holding that little buckler. Hallelujah. Oh, the new converts of the age, I remember what I did. I got saved and I prayed all the way through to the Holy Ghost. And I got up and I was ready to fight. And I grabbed my Bible and I grabbed my pad and my pen. And I took off right into the fight. I was taking arrows right and left. But I wanted to do something for God. But about 2 months later, I was down. I was distressed. I was hurting. I'd been injured and I didn't know how to make it. Oh, my fight for faith had become a truth in my life. What can you do at the very bottom of the barrel? I remember how dark it got. 2 months in, I told my wife one night, she hadn't even got saved yet. I told her, I said, I'm done. It's too hard. I can't do this. She looked at me and said, you going to quit that easy? I said, yeah, I'm done. I can't remember if it was that night or the next night. I was over at a relative's house who was not saved, been backslid many years. And she asked me how it was going, and I told her I was done. And she said the words. She said, Caleb, when it comes down to it, not everybody can do that. It's not made for everybody. She said, when it all comes down to the bottom line, you'll do what you want to do. And immediately the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, son, what do you want to do? And he took my mind to a place within just a small time. I had almost a vision. I'm in between the bottom and the top. That's all I know to describe. It won't dark and light. It won't heaven and hell. It was the bottom or the top. And he said, what do you want to do? I looked at her immediately. I said, I've got to go pray. I'll see you later. I hit my knees, and I told the Lord, if you'll help me out of this one, I'm going to stay in the fight. If you'll help me out of this one, Lord, I'm going to do everything I know to do, Lord, to keep my life in order, because there is something worth fighting for. Oh, there in the bottom of the barrel, there's a valley low. But friend, let me tell you, there is a mountain high, and there is a time of praise, and a time of rejoicing, and then seeing people get saved, and seeing people help. Oh, the God of heaven will come through, and He'll give you exactly what you need. If you decide in your heart and your mind, I'm going to stay in this fight. But as a seasoned veteran in the Christian life, one thing that you'll find is hardest to fight for is your joy. The word joy means a state of happiness. It ain't that bottle of liquid. I remember one pastor would keep a bottle of joy in his pulpit. He said, you lost your joy? Come get some. It's comical. But joy is a state of happiness that after a while of fighting, we forget what it means. But I'm reminded of a man named Nehemiah, where in chapter number 2 of that book, he comes to the desolate, destructed city of Jerusalem. And he rides up and down, and he scopes out the walls, and he scopes out the city. And he comes to the elders, and he says, we are distressed here in Jerusalem. We are down, we are out. He said, but the God I serve hath put His hand good upon me. Many times it feels like it's too hard, but God wants you to know that His hand is good upon you. Oh, I wish you'd get some that would say, God, put it on me good. Surround me good, Lord. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll say, the hand of my God is good upon me. He's going to raise up a standard. He's going to lift me up on a rock. He's going to put me on a solid foundation. So when I'm swinging my hammer and the enemy tells me to come down. Oh, that old son said the devil stopped by today just to have a little talk with me. He said, you're working way too hard. Why don't you stop and rest your feet? But I did not even stop or take the time to turn around, because I'm building up this wall and I won't turn down. We need somebody to say, the hand of my God is good upon me, and I'm going to build and I'm going to fight and I ain't coming down. Oh, you'll find Jerusalem being the home of God's people. The holiness lifestyle with Pentecostal faith is the home of God's people. It started in Acts chapter 2, and it ain't stopped since. There's been many cities where it's been strong. There's been many churches where the faith has been scattered. Oh, but that foundation that has a crack in it, we need somebody to say, give me the cement, and I'll pour it. Give me a pillar, and I'll fix it. I want to fix the chips. I want to build a new slab. I want to raise a new wall. I want to put on a new roof. I'll do what it takes to fight this fight. I'll do what it takes to build this back up. We need a building, a powerhouse, a Holy Ghost field, soul filling station. Hallelujah. Oh, that enemy come against me and I, but he said, I'm happy to build it. I'm happy to let him order. I'm happy to drop the block. I'm happy to do what's got to be done. Oh, ask me to do something else for God, and I'll put it down, and I'll be happy to do it. Ask me to vest the floor. Ask me to paint a ceiling. Ask me to lift a sign. Ask me to cut the grass. Ask me to do whatever's got to be done. There's a fight, and I'm willing to help. Hallelujah. David said in Psalm 35, verse number 9, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." We get many. They get saved and they get sour. We have many. They get saved and they get satisfied. Moses said in Exodus 33 that when the cloud descended upon the tabernacle, all the people worshipped in their tent door. We have too many in our tent doors, comfortable within the confines of the tent, comfortable staying right where we've been for however long we've been there. When there's a fight right outside the walls. When there's a... Oh, God. When there's a fight right outside. Oh, and so far, it would seem... Now, it ain't this way. But it would seem like God's people's losing. Oh, because do you see them and you hear of them falling away. And you hear of Pentecost not dwelling like it used to dwell. But that ain't because God's changed. That ain't because the power's changed. It's because we don't have many Nehemiahs left that said like Isaiah said in Isaiah 12, "I with joy shall I drink from the wells of salvation. With joy shall I draw out and live for the Lord." Oh, we got to redig the wells our fathers have dug. We got to do whatever it takes to ensure that we keep the joy of our salvation. I said something last week preaching the Bible. If we want the world to be attracted to our fire, then we must have our fire. We can't sit unhappy, cold, indifferent, satisfied, and no flame burning for years and expect someone to be attracted to the fire. Whatever we say we have, we're going to have in order for them to know what we have. Amen. Fighting for our faith, that's the buckler. But fighting for our joy, that's the shield. That's the seasoned veterans. That shield was much bigger. So that someone holding it, all they would have to do is crouch just a little bit, and it would cover them from deep to the top of their head. The small ones, the ones that ran real fast, they couldn't cover or carry the shield. It had to be those that were seasoned and strengthened. We got to have those running fast. We've got to have the new converts. Jesus told Peter, the first time He said, "Feed my lambs." The other times He said, "Feed my sheep." In order to get sheep, we have to have lambs. So in order to get seasoned veterans carrying the shield, we must have those that are willing to carry the buckler. But we all have to work hand in hand. We can't train them to carry the shield before they're strong enough, or they'll die trying to hold it. But we can't give those that are strong enough for the shield, the buckler, and expect them to fight like they have a shield. We must do our job, and we all have a job to do. But it's time that we come together. Arm in arm, hand in hand, knees to the ground, hands on the plow, eyes on the sky, and say, "God of heaven, help us to stay in the fight." Hallelujah. The U.S. Coast Guard has a motto in Latin. It says, "Semper paratus." It means always ready. The Marine Corps, their motto is "Semper Fidelis," translated either "always faithful" or "always loyal." The U.S. Army, we didn't have a fancy Latin motto, but we did have a soldier's creed. I'm going to read that to you tonight, and then I'm going to translate it for you. The U.S. soldier's creed says, "I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I'm a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. So now let's flip that and translate it into the Christian life. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. I am a warrior and a member of His team. I serve the God of heaven and live His holy values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined spiritually, physically, and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my Christian tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my prayer and fasting, my equipment, my Bible, and myself. I am godly and I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage and destroy, casting down and casting out the enemies of righteousness and the powers of darkness of this world. I am a guardian of freedom, truth, and the Christian way of life. I am a Christian soldier. I am one that is willing to hurt, but to fight. I am one that is willing to stand when no one else will. I am one that is willing to say, God of heaven, help me. Strengthen me. Help me to hunker down and be strong. Order my shield or my buckler. And help me draw near to battle because I want to fight.
Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. We need some people to get the mentality of the soldier, to be ready to stay faithful and loyal and to never give up. You know, there's a story about Napoleon, the famous leader, when he felt in a battle that he needed to retreat. He called one of his commanders and ordered them to have the bugler sound the retreat. The commander sent the message, but the sound they heard was not the sound of retreat. It was the sound of charge. Surprised, Napoleon again told the commander to correct the bugler and call to retreat. Once again, the sound that came was not the sound of retreat, but it was the sound of charge. Now furious, Napoleon marched down to the bugler himself and began to question why he wouldn't play retreat. At this point, the bugler looked at one of the greatest military leaders of all time and said, "You never taught me to play retreat. You only taught me to call charge." Oh, there's many people today that have started sounding the call to retreat. But I bet you, or as Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren, let's call charge. Let's stand ready. Let's deploy ourselves against the enemy." I ask you tonight, are you willing to stand with me and say, "God of heaven, help me to stay in the fight. Help me to put my knees to the ground. Help me to do whatever it takes to keep my faith and to keep my joy and to draw near to battle." Stand with me tonight if you would. Sister Holly, if you would, whenever you get a song. Song that was prayed during the offering. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service, you will find no place. Keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier He can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep
keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. But here we go right here. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. I will, oh God, I will praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the pass of sin, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. Keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, you must keep on, keep on, keep on. You must stay in the fight. Hallelujah. I ask you tonight, you've been fighting, but God's here to strengthen you. Are you ready? Are you willing to say, God, I want to stay in? God, forget the decisions I was going to make. Forget the problems I was going through. I want to keep my faith. Help me, Lord, to keep my faith. This altar's open. You want to say, help me, God, to keep my joy. Help me, Lord, to fight for it. This altar's open. Oh, you're here tonight and you're in the valley decision. But God's here to help you. Stay in the fight. Get strong. Get faithful. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to fight, Lord, for what's right, and do what you want.